Good morning, and thank you for your generous introduction and welcome. And I too would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today. I'd also like to thank our community for the kind invitation to open today's conference. And I'd heard about it before too. I'd heard it had a vibe and an energy all of its own, and I'll be interested to experience that as we go through today and tomorrow. I'd also like to pass on the regrets of my Minister, the Honourable Mal Brough, who would have loved to have been here, I'm sure, but unfortunately today's a sitting day and he has to give priority to Parliament. The theme of this year's conference is Challenging the Power of One. To me, the power of one hints at the independence of spirit that characterises so many individual Australian achievements. But it also reminds one of the ability of committed people to work together as one to benefit the community as a whole. Today, I'm going to focus on the government's role in promoting the power of the community. Naturally, I'm going to draw on my experience in the Australian Government Department of Families, Community Services and Indigenous Affairs, which I'll refer to as FACSIA, where I've got particular responsibilities in relation to community policy. And I guess I'll mostly take a social policy perspective on the issues as well, although not exclusively. I'm going to draw on some of my experiences across the Australian Government, particularly in conservation and natural resource management and in regional development, and from my experience working with the Australian Territory, Australian Capital Territory Government, both before and after self-government. In fact, some of my perspectives go back to my years before I put on a suit. A lot of things influence your outlook in life. I spent a number of years in the mining industry working in regional and remote Australia. I first had interactions with Indigenous Australians in that context, and that certainly struck me and influenced a lot of my thinking back then and today. And as mentioned before, I had some involvement in the music industry for a while. I used to work in rock bands, and that's an interesting community with its own traits as well, as you can well imagine. But let me tell you a little bit about my presentation today. Let's see if I can. First, I'm going to outline some of the quite dramatic changes that are occurring in Australian society, and the challenges this creates for the way government works with communities and for social policy more generally. Second, I'm going to talk about how the government is collaborating as a member of the social coalition and how we're working differently with communities, non-government organisations and businesses to strengthen communities. And third, I'm going to pose some questions and challenges around the future directions for working with communities. Some of these issues are: how can we further strengthen the community sector? How do we know we're doing good work? And how can we keep individuals motivated and involved in their community? First, though, let me talk for a moment on the role of FACSIA as a social policy advisor to government and implementer of its policies and programs. We work at three levels. Indeed, the formal purpose of our department is to improve the lives of Australians by helping build the capacity and well-being of individuals, families, and communities. Of course, these three social domains, the individual, the family, and the community, can't sensibly be thought of in isolation from each other. The actions we take in relation to each need to be mutually reinforcing. So, for example, policies and programs that support families, such as the family tax benefit and other family payments, need to have in mind their impact on communities. Indeed, Noel Pearson in particular is challenging us to think hard about how such payments for families might influence outcomes for remote Indigenous communities. But it's not just the interconnectedness of individuals, families and communities that creates the policy challenge. The rapid and fundamental changes occurring in Australia's social landscape create a further layer of complexity. And let me mention just a few of those. There have been substantial improvements in life expectancy even between the short years between 1982 and 2001, life expectancy at birth increased by 6 years for men and just over four for women in Australia. Perhaps even more importantly, there have been extensive changes in the way families are structured and function. While couple families are still the most common family type, there have been increases in the proportion of one-parent families, from 7% of families in 1976 to 11% in 2001. And as many in this room will know, the proportion of families with children has declined to 60% of families, largely due to the ageing of population, but also as a result of trends towards childlessness. And assuming these trends continue, by 2021, the most common family type is projected to change from couples with children to couples without, not too far away. And perhaps one of the most striking of these changes relates to lone person households. They're becoming much more common. The number of lone person households is projected to increase from 1.6 million in 1996 to 3.4 million in 2021, a huge increase. Young people are also living at home for far longer than ever before. And there have been a significant increase in the number of people moving from metropolitan areas and regional cities to coastal areas. For example, the Bass and Surf Coasts in Victoria grew at more than double the state rate between 2002 and 2003. And many of these coastal populations are really struggling. The coastal communities are really struggling to deal with the rapid population growth. And real income growth during the past decade was around 2.8% a year, appreciably faster than the 20 years beforehand. There's been a very rapid growth in casual and part-time employment as well. And of particular relevance to us here today is that between 1995 and 2002, there was an increase from 24% to 34% in the proportion of people aged 18 years and over who did some voluntary work during the previous 12 months. And Australians and businesses are giving and volunteering more than ever before, contributing more than $11 billion in 2004. And research shows that the value of individual giving, which was $5.7 billion last year, has increased 88% since 1997. So these and other changes have contributed to a shift in the focus of social policy and programs in Australia. Social policy has moved beyond responding to needs, as they manifest themselves, towards a greater focus on prevention and developing the community's capacity to be as self-reliant as possible. Now, prevention and self-reliance both require much closer focus by government on community dynamics. And this in turn requires community engagement through partnerships between individuals, families, business, government, and welfare and charitable organisations, all collaborating to solve social and economic problems, something I'll return to in a little while. Let me talk a little bit about some of the implications of the social policy changes that I've just mentioned. They've required government to think differently about the way in which it develops and delivers social programs. The changes I've mentioned include a greater focus on dealing with individuals in the context of their families and their community settings, rather than dealing with each person as they present to service. Secondly, seeing income support and services as part of an integrated package to help people develop capacity to make transitions over their life course, rather than just discrete services meeting a single need at a single point in time. More active social interventions, focusing on economic and social participation rather than passive social safety net. Increasingly tailored assistance for individual circumstances rather than one-size-fits-all approaches. And government encouraging action at local level to address issues rather than top-down approaches. And finally, a greater role for organisations working outside government in policy development, financing and delivery of services, rather than government operating in isolation. So in essence, what we're seeing is a shift away from government from trying to solve for society towards a state of enabling society to solve for itself. And as you move into this realm, capacity building, participation, and the development of shared objectives with stakeholders right across the community become key levers of change. Let me talk a little bit now about the role of FACSIA in collaborating as a member of the social coalition. Those changes that I've just mentioned are driving us as a department to work in new ways with communities, business organisations, community organisations, and governments. We now see ourselves as a member of a social coalition, collaborating with all spheres of government, community leaders, the business community, and individual members of the community and community organisations to develop and implement social policy and programs. This calls on us to be more open to advice from experts in business, research, academic and community sectors, and to work better with state, territory and local governments, and to forge partnerships with non-government organisations, and to be a whole lot better at consultation and feedback. We do this because it draws on the broader experience of the community, promotes local ownership, and provides stronger and more sustainable outcomes for individuals, families, and communities. Now, let me give you a couple of practical examples of some of the ways in which we're working, which exhibit some of the traits that I've just been talking about. I'm going to talk a little bit about working with Indigenous communities. In July 2004, the Australian government started down a new path. It adopted what we call a whole-of-government approach to Indigenous-specific policy programs and services, especially in remote Australia. When we use the term whole-of-government approach, I mean government agencies working across their portfolio boundaries to achieve a shared goal and provide an integrated response to specific issues or to a specific community. This approach incorporates five basic principles: collaboration across and between governments, the community, and the private sector. Secondly, ensuring that local and regional needs and priorities are understood and communicated. Thirdly, flexibility in approach, particularly in enabling funds to be moved between agencies and between programs to support good local strategies. Improved accountability and performance monitoring, and providing leadership both within government and in the regional networks of representative Indigenous organisations. We're trying to bring these principles to life through what are referred to as shared responsibility agreements, or SRAs, which spell out what communities, governments, and others will contribute to achieve long-term changes in Indigenous communities. These agreements are made at the local level. They start with ideas from the community on the changes people want and how these changes could be achieved. In agreeing to a shared responsibility agreement, communities make commitments and governments undertake to provide services or funding to assist the community achieve its objectives. It's a two-way deal. To support this approach, the government has established what we call Indigenous coordination centres. They're quite novel. They're led by the Office of Indigenous Policy and Coordination, which is within FACSIA, but they also incorporate representation from other Australian government departments, and in some places also state government agencies. And each Indigenous Coordination Centre coordinates Australian government program funding and services to local Indigenous people. They work with local Indigenous communities and negotiate regional and local agreements for partnerships based on shared responsibilities. This new approach gets community members working towards common community goals that improve outcomes for people in the community. It's a new approach, and it's one we're still refining and learning from. Let me move to a second example. Communities for Children, another form of community engagement through an Australian Government program. We know that social issues for children can't be addressed in isolation from the family, community, and broader social environments in which children live. Yet traditionally, Australian Government policy and programs have been delivered within a national framework that's not so agile in taking into account local circumstances. More recently, a variety of models for early intervention programs at the local level have emerged, and Communities for Children is an innovative model of government policy development and service delivery. It's grounded in community development principles, and it redefines the non-government role in policy development and program management. The initiative aims to assist children from birth to 5 years of age to have the best possible start in life. And since April 2004, this program has been implemented in 45 sites across Australia through non-government organisations. Funding of $142 million has been provided over 4 years. The Communities for Children approach provides a national framework focused on sustainability and capacity building, but which also allows for individual localised approaches. Under Communities for Children, the Australian Government provides funding to a non-government organisation or consortium of non-government organisations in a local community. The NGO works in partnership with various sectors of the community to develop and implement a community strategic plan and annual service delivery plan for early intervention in early childhood. The NGOs are called facilitating partners in our language, and one of their early roles is to establish a Communities for Children committee in the local community. And the facilitating partner has responsibility for bringing together the community members and existing and new services to address the needs of children. The facilitating partner also distributes the Communities for Children funding within the community according to the community strategic plan and the annual service delivery plan. These plans identify the strengths and assets and the needs and service gaps of the community. So in this way, Communities for Children utilises the expertise of the community and ensures local ownership and local responses. It has to be said there's some policy risks in this model. There's opportunity for divergence to occur between the broad national level policy intent and what actually takes place on the ground. To manage this risk, the Australian Government is working to provide clear policy frameworks within which a range of local community responses can emerge. But getting that balance right is a tricky thing. Interestingly, there are echoes in the Communities for Children program of the approach Australian state and territory governments have taken in the field of natural resource management in recent years. Under the Natural Heritage Trust, community-based natural resource management committees across Australia develop strategic regional natural resource management plans. And once these plans have been accredited, governments fund them quite generously, both in cash and in kind. There's very wide community engagement, both in the planning and delivery stages, as well as the application of considerable scientific and technical expertise from a range of sources. The field of natural resource management involves a rather different coalition to that engaged in the social policy issues I've mentioned, although there's a surprising amount of overlap as well. Nevertheless, the basics of community capacity building and engagement, accompanied by planning and delivery to meet locally identified needs, all within a national policy framework, are there. The extent of innovation in those two programs that I've mentioned, I suspect, is much greater than many appreciate. But of course, with all innovation comes risks, but also opportunities to learn, and there's plenty of learning going on right now. Let me turn now to some of the questions and challenges that I wanted to pose for discussion. And these go to issues to do with the power of the community. Firstly, how can we further strengthen the community sector? and assist community organisations to maximise the positive outcomes for their efforts. At the federal government level, we acknowledged we have not yet successfully reduced the administrative load on community organisations. That's the load that goes with grants and other types of government funding. FACSIA has been working on what we call a red tape reduction project. We've consulted widely with the sector in developing options to help the sector to spend more time on clients and less time on filling out forms. We want to streamline the administration that organisations and communities have to bear, while maintaining standards of accountability that the public expects of governments. It's an area in which we're strongly focused on at the moment, and we're looking forward to making a real difference in. The Prime Minister's Community Business Partnership has also initiated a number of programs aimed at strengthening the community sector. Workplace Giving Australia aims to increase the level of donations to the non-profit sector through payroll giving. If just 10% of the Australian workforce donated $5 a week, an additional $250 million would flow to the not-for-profit sector each year. The PM's Community Business Partnership has also recently commissioned work to develop a toolkit for small and medium enterprises to assist them to form community business partnerships. And we're aware as a department that we need to do further work on helping small and medium non-profit organisations to access this potential funding stream. And we're continuing to support the work of Non-Profit Australia with its role in building the capacity of the non-profit sector. In particular, this includes increasing the capabilities of non-profit leadership teams and board members, improving the financial capability of the sector, and further stimulating collaboration. And we've also been thinking about the possibilities of different models for organisations in the community sector, including social enterprises and the options for social venture capital funding. The department is investigating a number of models for supporting a venture capital fund, including a specific social venture community foundation. Finally, to help us take a closer look at issues across the sector, FACSIA has, for the first time, set up a community sector support team. This team will look broadly at support and development strategies for the sector and will work with the sector to address some of the challenges it faces. Let me move on to the second challenge. How do we know when we're doing good work and that we're achieving positive outcomes for the communities in which we work? This is a critical issue. To some, it might be self-evident that good outcomes are being achieved through community-based interventions. But measuring the impact of social policy in any domain is notoriously difficult. FACSIA has a responsibility to understand the results of the interventions it funds. Our ministers, the government and the parliament have high and legitimate expectations of us in that regard. Indeed, all organisations, be they government, business or community, have similar obligations to those that fund them. So with strong encouragement from Minister Mal Brough, FACSIA is actually formally identified as one of our priority business results for 2006-2007, the following outcome: achieving a measurable improvement in the impact in communities of our community-based programs and interventions. And of course, achieving a measurable improvement in impact has as a prerequisite our capacity to identify just how impact is to be measured. No easy task. It's going to require some rigour and imagination on our part. We're looking closely at measures of community strength and resilience that have been developed recently. And we're also thinking through what it means to have independent, objective measures of community interventions. In the end, it's about getting the best value for the community for the money that is spent, and also targeting action so that it works well. Let me move on to the last issue. How can we promote active community involvement and help keep individuals motivated and involved? The Australian government plays an important role here by deliberately and actively supporting volunteering. Examples of actions in this field are the Volunteering Management Program and the Volunteer Small Equipments Grants, or VSEG, program. And let me make a quick plug here for VSEG. In early June of this year, Minister Mal Brough announced funding of $3 million for the 2006 Volunteer Small Equipments Grant Program round. We've just advertised for applications from community organisations to help them purchase small equipment items that will make the work of the volunteers easier, safer and more enjoyable. We also know that business has great potential to contribute to the community. It can do this in lots of ways, including through philanthropic activities, support for corporate volunteering, opportunities for skill transfer from the corporate to the community sectors, and the development of mutually beneficial partnerships with a focus on delivering benefits for the community. And we're playing a role in trying to encourage that exchange between business and community organisations. Again, the Prime Minister's Awards for Excellence in Community Business Partnerships has showcased some fantastic examples of community business collaboration. And by showcasing those examples, we're also encouraging. Let me conclude. I want to look forward a little bit, but I'm not going to be too brave. I don't see, in my predictions, I don't see the pace of social change slowing. For governments, I believe this will demand continuing innovation in social programs and policies. It will put a premium on the agility of those interventions in the face of the highly differentiated needs of Australian individuals, families, and communities. Citizens and governments alike will expect more, not less, integration of effort within and between governments, and between government and community and business. And they will expect more of dealing with causes, not symptoms, over the life course of individuals and families. And they will expect to measure with much greater certainty the impacts of their actions, precisely because this is what will inform the innovation that's so necessary to respond to change. I also believe that partnership between governments, business, non-government organisations and communities will continue to grow as an essential component of social policy and programs. All the best for the conference. FACSIA staff will be here throughout to listen and learn from your ideas so that we can do our job better and support you. I'd now like to officially open the Communities in Control Conference for 2006. Thank you.